these fancy singers, they'll sing better than we do. They got better music accompaniment. They may have better musicians than what we've got. But sometimes they'll say, I'm a child of a king. Well, I'm not a child of a king. I'm a child of the king. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. As Paul called him, the one true potentate. And I thank God I can say potentate. I know the depth of the meaning of potentate, but I know he's my king. He is the one and only king. Go to Psalm 146. I need you to pray for me. This psalm has been on my heart. And I can't shake it. Can't get away from it. And I want to be mindful of his will, mindful of his purpose, as we try our very level-headed best to preach and give unto you what God has given unto us. And a lot of times, Lord gives me a whole lot and he gives me a little. But I ask you to keep your Bible open to Psalm 146. If you'd like to try to follow along, that's what we'll spend most of our time in. I'm going to read the whole psalm. It's just 10 verses. And if nothing else, you could go home today and say you read a whole chapter in the Bible on Sunday morning. Somebody say amen right there. Ain't that good? I mean, I could be mean, said none of y'all probably touched the Bible all week, but I ain't going to say that. I'm going to say it's going to be good to be read a chapter in the Bible this morning, right? Some of you might be thinking, find that chapter's got 2 verses in it. We're going to read all 10 verses. Everybody all right? I'm glad I'm a child of the King. But I need you to pray for me. I've got a great big burden upon my heart. Try to shake it this morning. Been trying to shake it all week, but I can't shake it. And I don't know. I will say this. I know I'm in this message. Hopefully you can find yourself in the message. If you can't find yourself, ask God to put you in it. And I know we'll be muchly blessed. For us to have the honor and the privilege for the Lord to speak to us is wonderful. That's more than anything else in the world. We will never go to Pennsylvania Avenue and have supper. Just me and you will never get invited to go to the White House and have supper. And I don't care who the president is, they ain't going to invite us. But you know, one day after a while, we get to sit with the Savior. That's worth it all right there. That's worth it all. Psalm 146, if you got it, ask you to stand with us. To reverence the reading of God's Word. If you can't stand, we understand. You can reverence it still sitting down. But we want to read Psalm 146. If you got it, say amen.
Amen.
If you got it, say hold up, preacher. All right, Psalm 146, starting at verse number 1. Says, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. Y'all ought to underline that in your Bible if you ever get a chance. Underline that, highlight that if you want to do it in your Bible. He turns the wicked upside down. Verse 10, the Lord shall reign forever, and even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations, praise ye the Lord. Would you help me pray? Precious Lord, wonderful Savior. One more time, Lord God, to say thank you for being our King. Thank you, Lord God, for loving us and saving us, Lord Father. Thank you for your word. Thankful for church. Thankful for the songs. Lord, Father, it's been sung. Thank you for an altar of prayer. And thank you, Lord God, for a space and time right now, Lord Father, that we can have with you. Father, I pray for every heart and every mind, Lord Father, to be closed off on the things that are outside, the things of this world, Lord Father, that's trying to consume our thoughts, keep our attention distracted. Lord Father, I pray that you arrest our attention, keep it focused upon you, focused upon your word, focused upon your spirit. Lord, I pray that you put every single one of us in this message, including the preacher. But, oh God, I will say this about the preacher. Forgive him if he's failed you. Help him in his shortcomings, Lord. Anoint his lips. He's just a body of clay. He's a leaky vessel, Lord Father, and he still needs fresh oil every time he preaches. Oh God, I pray, Lord Father, for that this day. And I pray, Lord God, for repentant hearts. Lord God, and I pray for faithful hearts. Lord Father, that would come to you and seek you while you may be found. It's in Jesus' name we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading. And as we read upon these scriptures, I don't have a fancy title. Don't have no fancy things. I got a bunch of words, though, the Lord has given me throughout this Psalm 146. And I thought for sure that I would start off. The Lord changed my heart. While he's down there, we're going to start off in a different direction, so I need your prayer. I'm one of them people who like to know what the Lord's doing when he's doing it. Don't like being put on slippery surfaces and have to follow him. But you know what? That's what a man ought to do. Yep. I want to pray this morning. I thank God that I can praise him. I can praise him because he is my Lord. Yep. I'll say this today. He's your Lord, whether you know it or not. He is the God of your salvation. I know some people may not realize this, but I was thinking about how sometimes we'll sing that song, when the dead and cry, I'll have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Was that song 227? We'll let a rip tater chip on that song. I mean, we'll belt her out like crazy, don't we? But that song, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. I think we turned the volume down before we turned it up. And can I say this? If he's the Lord of your salvation, if he's your God, it is joy unspeakable and it is full of glory. Oh, and I thank God today that it is. This psalmist that's writing, he's writing these verses and writing these things down in all 10 verses. I believe he's familiar with everything that he wrote down. I believe he knows exactly what he's writing down. I believe he has experienced. I believe he has known exactly as in experiencing the things that God has done not only in his life, but revealed to him in his heart and showed him in his walk of every single day. May I say that we'll always take time to do this and do that. But friends, we need to stop and take time to praise the Lord. Can I say oftentimes we'll give more time to the things of the world, give more time to the things that's going on in the outside world, things that pertain to the world, and the one who always has to pay the price is always will be the Lord. I was talking to one here recently and said, who's the one that's got to pay the price for our negligence and wanting to give him the praises due worthy unto him? And they said, well, we the one who is going to have to pay the price. Friend, we don't pay the price. He does. I thank God he still pays the price. But old James, I believe he's looking. He's a searching. He's got his ears open. And he's listening to see if anybody will praise him today. He said, preacher, we praised him in song. We sung unto the Lord about 4 or 5 hymn songs. Ain't that good enough? Can I say you ought to praise him more than just sitting on a Sunday morning in the church house? We ought to praise him more than just sitting in the church house on a Sunday evening or on a Wednesday evening. Friend, everything that has breath, the psalmist said in chapter 150, the last verse, he said, praise ye the Lord. Everything that hath breath, praise ye the Lord. Heard a preacher one time and said this, whether it's suns are shining or whether it's a storming out, you'll hear birds giving God the praise early in the morning. I've often heard the term, you have too, the early bird gets the worm. But can I say this, I'd like to be the early bird to praise God in the morning. And when he looks down, he'll hear from me, he'll hear from my heart and know that it's truthful. Can I say the Bible says in John chapter 4 that God said, Jesus said that God is a spirit and seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. I think we should worship him in the morning, worship him in the afternoon, and worship him in the evening. I think we should worship him on the mountaintop and worship him in the valley. I think we should worship him in the daylight and we should worship him in the midnight. I think every time we get the opportunity to praise and worship the Lord, don't you all agree? Yep. Oftentimes we'll find ourselves and we're just flesh, I understand. I'm not trying to say everybody's wicked and nasty, but the Bible says the way of the wicked, the wicked people, he's going to turn them upside down. I mean, you just look at the things that's going on in our world today. You just look at things that's happening. Friend, you have no promise of tomorrow. You have no promise of the next day. That's why the Bible always says in the day, today, if you harden not your heart, hey, call upon the Lord. I don't care if you're saved. I don't care if you're lost. That if you're in underneath the sound of my voice, you ought to call upon the Lord. Ask him and thank him and love on him and sing unto him. Make up a song. Say things. You say, preacher, you say the same thing over and over and over again. Friend, I don't think God's pleased with repetition. But you know what? I'll sing the songs that's familiar unto me. I won't try to be who I'm not. But I am going to be a child of the King and raise up his name and lift it up in song. I got to thinking about these verses in verse number 3. He says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, and the very day his thoughts shall perish. Can I say, don't put your trust in man. Don't put all your confidence in man. We find it in Psalm 118, verse number 8. It says, it's better to trust in the Lord
than to put confidence in man. I'll say this, but in Proverbs chapter number 3, I thought about this scripture. And I thought about the things when it comes to being blessed of the Lord. It says in Proverbs chapter number 3 at verse number 5, familiar scripture, 5 is, but 6, 7, and 8 is something we should always write down or put in the pen in our heart. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. But verse number 6, it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Friend, if you want some leadership, you want to know which way you're going, acknowledge God in everything that you do. Acknowledge God in all your ways. And the Bible says he'll direct your path. Verse 7 says, be not wise in thy own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. You know, I think that's what we have a problem with nowadays. A lot of people's wise in their own eyes. There's a lot of people who think they're clean from all their sin, but still get them washed from their filthiness. That's what the Bible says. Says there is a generation that's that way. And I don't know about anybody else. I'm not a prophet. I'm just a man of God. But Brother James, I can see this generation fulfilling that scripture. There is a generation that's not pure from their sin. They think they're pure from their sin in their own eyes, but they ain't been cleansed from all their filthiness. For may I remind you, we're clothed upon with corruption. We're clothed upon with things of the earth. We're clothed upon things that are no good. The Bible says flesh and blood should not inherit the kingdom of God. But I thank, am I hearing this preacher this morning? I thank God today I can praise him. Not for my ability, but I praise him that he took the time to save my soul and lift me up out of the miry clay. I thank God today for this. Verse number 8. It says this, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Can I say this? Hey, trust in God. Lean upon God. But preacher, so-and-so says this and so-and-so says that. Let them say what they got to say. But friend, let God have the preeminence over everybody else. Let him be the rule of your life. Let him be the guide of your day. And friend, it'll be strength to you. It'll be health to you. When times get rough and times get lean, he won't leave you, nor will he forsake you. He said he'll go all the way with you to the end of the world. Y'all hearing the preacher this morning? You said, preacher, what's the message? I'm going to get to the message. I'm glad there's a reason that this writer knows what he's saying. He has a reason for what he's saying. He has a realization for what he's saying. He got a revelation for what he was been saying. He realized the reason that he's appraising God is because he knows firsthand not to put trust in man. The reason why he knows that you should lift up God is because he knows man will fail at every step and every chance of the way. Oftentimes, I'd like to say this, but sure, I'd like to beat my chest and say I've never failed nobody. But I do know I fail. I'm glad to know this. I'm not glad to know that I fail the Lord, but I'm glad to know he has never failed me. And can I say this? Oftentimes, people will say, well, so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that. It's just devastated me. And I understand exactly how you feel. People let people down all the time. But friend, don't put your hope and trust in people. Put your hope and trust in the Savior. Put your confidence in the Savior. Lean upon him. He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you. Oh, it says you shall be strengthened in your bones and in the ways of the and the ways that you walk. You have a reason to praise his name. Can I say this today? Everybody here that's ever been born again and saved, you should have a reason to sing. You should have a reason to praise God. You should have a reason to lift up your voice and lift up holy hands unto heaven. I mean, raising up hands is nothing wrong with that. I like being in church when people raise up their hands, Brother James. I like being in church when people sing loud unto the Lord. You ain't got to act like me. You ain't got to shout like me. But the Bible says that we should shout, we should sing, we should praise, we should lift up holy hands unto God. I don't think it's gotten out of order to raise up hands and shout, Brother Eddie. I think it's just gotten out of style. I think it's gotten out of practice. I think some people say, well, preacher, we're too dignified for that. We have come to a place in time. We have more knowledge than ever have before. But friend, I've seen much learning has made people not mad, but it's made them slothful and lazy when it comes to praising of God. And can I say this? I think a cell phone's good. I think the internet's good. I think all those things are good if you use them rightly. But friend, but too many times they've taken up the place where we've leaned upon God and trusted in him. But friend, we're leaning on more on the things that man has created. I'll tell you, this scripture means more and more to me. Each day that I live, Brother Eddie, that God made man upright, but he sought out many inventions. Oh, but friend, don't look for the person. Don't look for the invention that man's made, but look to the power of the cross which God has established to lift you up out of sin. He's worthy to be praised. We have a reason. People has let me down. People has stabbed me in the back. people has forsaken me. I've had one person tell me one time, they said, preacher, and I've told James this, and I've told Josh this, and I've told all the preachers I've ever come to, these preachers in this church, but they have told them, it's a lonely spot sometimes being a preacher. But can I say it's a lonely spot sometimes just being saved? I don't know if anybody's ever felt what it's like to have all your friends forsake you. I've had people say, well, preacher, you left us. Hey, I never left nobody. I still live in the same address I've always lived in. Sister Megan, I lived on 509 John Street. All my friends lived around me. And everybody thought it was okay and cool because they'd call on Jason Faulkner to have themselves a good time and party. But when it seems that Jason got born again and saved, something happened to Jason. He done went crazy whack on everybody else. Can I say, I didn't go crazy whack on everybody else. I just got born again. And you know what? They stopped inviting me over to the card game. They stopped inviting me to play euchre. They stopped me from playing sand volleyball. They stopped me from playing all those other things. They said, preacher, we just can't get along with you. You ain't the same person that you used to be. And I had family members. I think this is right. I do believe it's true. If you've got true and again, born and saved, I say that some of the family members get mad at you. They get upset with you. They don't like the way that you've turned. I've had them come to me and say, it's like Jason. It's like my relative. I won't say which one. It's like you died. It's like you're dead. I thank God for my wife. She looked at me and she said, Jason, the one they know is dead. But the one that stands before you today has been born again to a brand new life. Hey, I'm not worthy to lift up his name, but I'm glad he's worthy to have his name lifted up. And friends, sometimes it's hard. And sometimes it rips at your heartstrings and rips your guts out. But friend, you know what it feels like to put your trust in him and him turn your back on you. But friend, can I say this? That man who wrote the psalm had a reason to praise God because he knew man failed, but God never did. God will never leave you nor forsake you. Can I say this? Y'all pray for me now. I'm just following the Lord. Have you put your trust in man now? Have you gotten so off the beaten path that you're trusted in man on which direction to go? Friend, can I say this? There's nothing wrong with having a preacher, having a pastor, having a deacon, having a good friend in the Lord. And friend, sometimes it's good to have them put their arm around you. It helps. But nothing will help like putting all your trust and your faith in the Lord. Nothing will do it. He had a reason to praise the Lord. Can I say this? He had a revelation. Notice this in verse number 5. It revelated me. I didn't know about this till this morning sitting there. Can I say you can be happy, you can be helped, and you can have hope. It's all right there in verse number 5. You can be happy. Hey, does anybody want to be happy this morning? I want to be happy. I'm tired of seeing sappy faces. I'm tired of seeing people with frowns. I want to say this. I want to be a happy individual. There's nothing worse than to see people who's got the mean mug. And I heard somebody, we was talking here recently, talking about eating persimmons. And I've said this once before. I'm telling you, I think y'all ought to experience eating an unripe persimmon. I mean, you'll look like a face has been contorted and twisted. I mean, you'll look like some kind of alien. I mean, I kid you not. But can I say this? I've seen people who says they love the Lord. I've seen people who says they're Christians, and they're the most unhappiest people to be around. They're the most negative people to be around. And I ain't saying there ain't a time that you'll always be, that you will not be unhappy. There won't be a time that you won't be negative. But friend, can I say this? In the Lord, I'm happy. I'm happy every day of my life. You said, preacher, why are you so happy? I'm not dying and going to hell. I'm not going to hell. I see them kids lift up their hands. I'm not going to hell. Preacher, they're just doing that because they know it ought to be raised their hands up here. Hey, it's good practice. And when the feeling comes around, they might raise up both hands and say, I'm not going to hell. I'm happy because I'm not going to hell. Aren't you happy today you're not going to hell? Right. H-E double hockey sticks ain't got nothing on you because you're saved by the grace of God. Happy. And I'm helped. In that fifth verse, he says, I'm helped. He says that those God of Jacob, blessed, happy is that person who's the God, who their God of Jacob is, for he's their help. He's help. You can't make it on your own. You can't bear it on your own. You can't walk through this life without having troubles and struggles. You can't walk through this life without this flesh turning against you. Hey, you might feel spry today. You might feel strong today. But friend, if God lets time go on, mark her down, your body's going to turn against you. Your knees will start creaking. Your back will start aching. Your head will start doing things. I mean, bless God. I'm looking over at some of you. Some of you needing help physically in the body because things have gone wrong. But friend, he's the help that we need. I ain't saying you turn against the doctor. You turn against the prescription. I'm just saying turn to God first because he's your help. And can I say he's your hope? He's your hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And do not trust in the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ's solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. You know, I've been watching. Y'all, help me for a second. That thing's been going up and down in front of this pulpit all morning long. And you might say, preacher, you ought to kill him. He might get saved. Can I say this? He's our help. He's our happiness. He's our hope. For so long now, I'm going to get to the part. I even got to the message yet. This is all introduction. But when's the last time you've been happy in the Lord? When's the last time you realized He's your help? When's the last time you got up and said, Lord, I know what day this is going to be today, but my hope is trusting in You. When's the last time? I see all the time, and everybody gets mad at this preacher, gets mad at the preacher because they pick at the people that's on TV and on the radio. Can I say this? I think the radio and the TV and the internet's been a good thing, but it's also been a horrible thing, Brother James. It's been a horrible thing because now people sometimes will put more trust and say, well, I get my positive message from the guy on TV. I get my hardcore toe-stomping message from my pastor at church. But friend, can I say this? I would trust in your pastor at church. I would trust in your pastor at church. You said, preacher, you think you're something? No, I'm nothing. But my Bible tells me that's how He works in His order. I'm happy because the Lord preaches to me. Hey, I like a motivational speech just as well as anybody else. But my Bible tells me the heart of man is desperately wicked above all things who could know it. We're living in a world today that somebody says either you ascribe to be the pessimist when you say, man, there's no good in man. Or you're the positive person. You say all men are good. They just need help. My Bible tells me that all men need Jesus Christ. All men need Jesus Christ. He had a reason to praise Him. He had a revelation to praise Him. Or a realization. He had a, verse 5 is a realization. Verse 6 through 10 is the revelation that he got. He realized in verse 5 that he could be happy. He realized in verse 5 that he had hope. And he realized in verse 5 that he had help. The rest of them scriptures in 6 through 10, it was the revelation known that God made everything, that God made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all things therein. The hand of God and His mighty work and His handiwork in verse 6, verse number 7, He executed judgment for the poor and He oppressed and for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the ears of the blind. The Lord raiseth them up and are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. I mean, I'm just sitting there thinking, going, what a wonderful revelation to know how much God truly loves us. When John the Baptist was in prison and he had those disciples hanging around with him, and he said, go ask Jesus, should I look for, is he the one or should we look for another? It's amazing how that scripture creates controversy amongst people, because people say John the Baptist never doubted. And some people say, well, John the Baptist wasn't doing it, he was doing it because for his disciples to go. Can I say this? I don't care why the reason why John said it, but I do know this. There's been times I've inquired the Lord and said, Lord, are you near? Somebody else ever done that? I have. I've been tossed to and fro on things of life. I've had things come against me. There's been times when I thought it was over. I thought that was the end of me. I thought I was it. I didn't think I was dying. But for the day, I thought my walk in front of man was over. I thought I was tainted goods. I was no more than a looking piece and a byword. And people would shake their head and say, you know, he started well, but he didn't finish well. But I'm reminded that the Lord is always there. When John the Baptist sent those disciples over to Jesus Christ, and they asked Jesus, said, Jesus, are you the one or should we look for another? And Jesus began to tell them about the eyes that were open, the ears that were open, the lame that was walking, the dumb that was talking, the dead that got raised back to life. But he threw in something that was just as important as those other things. He says, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Can I say this? It's so important for that gospel to be preached. The good news that Jesus Christ died for your sin. The good news is you don't have to bear it alone at all. Jesus said, all you that are heavy laden and labored, come unto me and I shall give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Not only did he save our soul, but he wants to help us walk through the rest of this life. I find that when he has his reason, he has his realization, and he has his revelation through all these scriptures, this is the part of the message that I could not get away from. This is what God has had upon my heart. All the other stuff was just the introduction. But here's the part that God laid upon my heart so heavy to where I could not get away from it. No matter where I went, it stayed in the center part of my mind. I believe this. You can take this or leave this, but I believe 100%. He did not want to have any regret. He did not want to have any regret. You said, preacher, how do you get all that from that scripture? In verse number 2, he says, while I live, And while I have any being, while I live, and while I have any being, what he's saying is, as long as I'm down here, and as long as my body will let me, I'm going to praise him. Amen. Y'all hearing the preacher?
Yes.
I could call out names. But there's people oftentimes we take for granted the opportunity we have to praise him. Praise him. I've said many times about Sister Rita Carver. I remember Rita Carver, she'd get try to sing that song Two Coats. And she'd get through that two couple verses. Poor Sister Rita. I love her with all my heart. But she'd tell you, I can't sing. I can't sing. But she'd sing. And she'd get happy while she was singing. Brother Millard stands up here. Brother Millard, I don't think you mind if I say this. Brother Millard, I'm glad you get up and sing. I'm glad you got to fumble around for a piece of paper. I'm glad you got to try to remember the scriptures or remember the verses of the song. I'm glad you got to do that. Somebody who, while he has his being, any being. Preacher can't do much. Do you have a voice? Preacher can't do much. Do you have any hands? Preacher can't do much. Do you have any feet? Preacher can't do much. Do you have a heart that's still beating? While I have my being, while I have any being. Oh, I've said this, and we talked, and we went to that went to Otterbein last Sunday. We were on a spur of the moment thing. We got there, and it was wonderful. I mean, I was expecting about maybe 5 to 10 people. We walk in there, and bam, there's like 30 of them sitting there waiting on us to show up. And it was just a handful of us. And I don't know about Don, sweat running all over me. I'm just sitting there going, man. I just said to sing the songs. I believe that they would probably know being raised. And they knew those songs. Yep. They said, we knew those songs. And we did. Even those ones, Sister Christina said, there were some. I mean, just watching some of the ones that looked like they was like out of this world. Was not registered. They didn't check out. You'd see their mouths start moving. You'd see them start recognizing the songs. And can I say this? I stood there and I thought about this. I said, Lord, while they had any being, they're going to lift up a word and sing praise unto you. Why? Because I don't want no regrets. I read an article. They said back in the day when they first started talking about time travel, and it was right after the Orson Welles movie, The War of the, or say on the radio, War of the Worlds and everything, I do believe it was. They had this magazine decided to run a little experiment and said they had invented a time travel. And they wanted to go on time travel. And they put out a thing and asked if anyone wanted to go on traveling in time with them. And they said they got all kinds of letters flooding in because people thought it was for real. They thought it was for real. They wanted to go back in time. Some people want to go back in time and maybe see this or see a person that they no longer see no more. But do you know what most of the people wanted to go back in time and do? They wanted to go back in time and fix the things that they didn't do right. They wanted to go back in time and maybe do the things right that they did wrong. They wanted to go back and say, I wanted to fix this mistake. I wanted to fix that. I didn't want to treat. I don't know what the reason was, Brother James, but I do know this. In my life, I don't want to look at my life. If I'm sitting somewhere in a church pew somewhere and I'm an old preacher, I praise God and I hope to pray that it is God. Sitting at Mount Zion Baptist Church, sitting in a pew in this church maybe, and just sitting there and listening to the new pastor or a pastor that's been there to preach the word of God. I don't want to sit in that pew and look back and say, God, if I'd only have praised you more, if I'd sung the way I should have sung, if I'd preached the messages that God you wanted me to preach, if I'd lived the life in front of other people, I don't want no regrets. He says, while I live, I will sing praises unto him. He said, while I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto God while I have any being. Not if he sounds good, not if he's in tune, not if he's correct, but while he has any being. I wonder if there's any regrets in our life today. I thought about this, Brother Eddie. We sit there and we go to, and I've said this before, many people know, and I'm not saying this because look at me, no. But we'll go to a football game. Blanchester's a losing football team. It's a losing football team. But if you show up right around game time, you got to park out in the middle of the field of somewhere and walk a long ways just to get to the ball game. Ain't that right, Logan? People show up for a losing team. They'll squall. They'll get cowbells. They'll ring. Bengals fans will paint themselves up, won't they? In the wintertime, it's not just sports. All kinds of things. But when it comes to the house of the Lord, when it comes to singing praises unto God, those fall. There's no voice. Yeah. There's crickets chirping.
Amen.
I thought about this, and I'm sort of thinking, going, why is it that we're so quick to run the things that last but only for a fleeting moment? I'm reminded when Moses, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 11, though he knew he was going to be ridiculed, though he knew he was going to take the worst end of the stick, but he said he'd rather trade for the tribulations and things and the ways of God's people than in the pleasure of season that was just only for a season. And friend, can I say this? Sin is only pleasurable, but it's only for a short time. And friend, when sin is finished, it brings forth death. This world has never gave us nothing. It never adds nothing to our life. It's like a leech sucking the very life out of us, the spirit out of us. And God's the only one who can replenish. Do we have any regrets this morning? Is there songs that we should have sung and have not sung? Is there testimonies that should be given that have not been given? I've heard people say, preacher, if everybody sung a song and if everybody gave a testimony, they said, preacher, we'd be here all day on Sunday. Hey, praise God, my Sunday's clear. Amen. My Sunday's clear, it's wide open.
Amen.
It wouldn't bother me. Preacher, what if you fall asleep? Hey, let me take like a 5-minute, 15-minute nap, let me get supercharged. Nod me, wake me up. We'll all take we'll tag team in and out. We'll praise God over and over again. I don't want to live this life with regret. Look back and say, if I'd only done this, if I'd only done that. I have heard, now listen to this. We give money to Bearing Precious Seed, the First Baptist Church in Milford, Ohio, to print Bibles to go to foreign countries so that the missionaries in foreign countries can give them a copy of God's Word so that they can have a Bible for themselves. It's not printed with calfskin leather for a cover. It's not fancy, but friend, the Bible, the fanciness of the Bible is not what makes the Bible the Bible. It's what's between the covers. Have you read your Bible like you should? Are you reading it like you should? Or will you have that regret? You said, preacher, I was enjoying the message up to this point. Can I say this? I was too. But I look back and I've got some regrets. The great thing is we have a God that forgives, but friend, we use Him. Brother Paul says, use Him as an ATM. He's no longer in the trunk, He's in the billfold. Right? And whenever we need Him, because we need Him more than just getting a flat tire on the car. Hey, if you're saved, you need Him more than when a flat tire happens. You need Him every single day, every single week. But we pull Him out like an ATM card. I was dumbfounded at this. We send those Bibles out to those foreign countries and things like that. But I have heard a statistic that now the United States of America is ranking up with China and India with the most people who do not identify with Christ Jesus. You may think I'm crazy, but Brother Byron, we need some missionaries for the United States of America. What's happened? This country was once the one who sent out the missionaries. Now, do we still? We still do. But friend, while we're sending people on foreign soil, the people are supposed to be supporting them. They're going to have a life full of regret, saying, I didn't praise the Lord. I didn't witness. I didn't tell folks about how marvelous His grace and His love is. I found out this. Notice this. This says every year over 4,000 churches close. We was going Friday night. Me and the wife was driving. We was out in the middle of nowhere. We're somewhere around Williamsburg and Bethel, Ohio. And I look, and there's a church sitting there. Nice little old white church out in the country. Gravel parking lot. You know, used to, that was the thing. Well, you see them old churches, you're like, oh, man, you know, power God's in there. You know what was in that church? Weeds. The sign was rotted down and broke down and leaned up against the front of the church sideways. It was empty. It's gone. 4,000 churches, over 4,000 a year, closed down. 1,000 a year start up. And somebody goes, well, at least 1,000 start up. And I say, yeah, at least 1,000 start up. But friend, when will the numbers catch up with themselves? When? I find this, that 27 million people, the statistic shows that 27 million people each year fall into an inactivity when it comes to church. You said, preacher, I didn't come to church to get browbeat. I'm not browbeating you. This is what God give me. Trust me, all we've robbed, I beg God, give me. I want one of them, woo, James, get off the chandelier. Noah, catch him when he... No. I don't want to live my life at the end of this age, of my age, and look back and say I had regrets. Somebody says, well, nobody really wants to hear me sing. God does. And if we're saved, I do. Nobody wants to hear me testify. My testimony tonight is great. You know, I didn't live out in the mars of sin. I didn't do all the stupid things of the world. You know, I didn't do things like you did, preacher. That's not a good testimony. Them testimonies that got saved at a young age. I'm glad my kids does not know the life that I live, Brother Ronnie. I'm glad they won't know that life. That's a good testimony. Ain't nothing wrong with saying them testimonies. Do you have any regrets today? Would you like to go back in time and change some things? But the psalmist says, happy and helped, and the hope is in the Lord. Can I say this? He loves you so much that he forgives you even of the things that you do now. And we don't have to go back and fix our regrets. We don't have to go back and fix our mistakes. We don't have to go back and fix the things that we messed up. Because Sister Stella, he gives us a brand new day every day. Ain't that good? Y'all still with the preacher? Are y'all still with me? You say, preacher, you quote that Lamentations 3 a lot. Yeah, because I got to remind myself that every morning his mercy and his compassion is brand new. Amen. And it fails not. It fails not. I hear people tell me, well, I don't like being told what's wrong with me. Join the crowd. Teachers have always told me what's wrong with me. Parents told me what was wrong with me. In-laws has always told me what's wrong with me. Come to church and the preacher tells me what's wrong with me. Go check in with the Lord, and the Lord's like, you know. Okay. He said, Jason, I can help you. I wonder if you're saved, if you'd look back on your life right now, if you'd be pleased. If you had to write an autobiography of your walk with the Lord, would you be pleased to write a book about it? Because the Bible says that we're an open epistle writ of all men. Oftentimes, we try to make our life to seem what we think it should be. Can I say, instead of us looking how it ought to be, let us look to the Lord and let him do with our life as he sees fit. I've heard people say, I wish I was this and I wish I'd done that. Well, let's stop wishing and let's start praying. Where's Christian at? Can you get your guitar? I'll never forget, and some people didn't like the way this went. Say, been in church. Some people here may know the story, and I maybe shared, I don't know, but it's worth sharing now. You know, you can get you some friends. I think you ought to have biblical friends, Bible friends, church-going friends, saved friends. I think that's a number one priority. But just because they're saved and just because they go to church doesn't mean you should hang out with them all the time. And maybe just because they go to church, maybe you shouldn't hang out with them at all. But I found this, Brother James, I'll tell you this because I know you understand where I'm coming from. I had some people I went to church with, they loved to keep me out all night. They would love to keep me doing things and the things of the world and did not add no profit to my walk, did not help me with my walk. Now, most people would say, that's them friends' fault. It's mine. I'm the one who's supposed to put my trust in the Lord. I'm the one who's supposed to put my faith in the Lord. I'm the one who wants to be happy. I want you to be happy, but I want myself to be happy first. I want to be happy. And I want help. I want hope. Man has tried to chase hope. They think it's in a feel good or something that this world has to offer or something that a man has to offer. But friend, your happiness and your help and your hope was hung upon Calvary. And there's one name that accompanies that name, and the name's Jesus Christ. I have found him to be the most faithful. I have found him, as Brother Paul said, the friend that sticks closer than a brother. I have found him when I have fallen. He has been there to catch me. I have found him when I have sinned and come short. He's there to forgive me. When I found him that I need of help, he's come right by and got up underneath my arm, Brother Eddie, and picked me up and carried me when I could not walk on my own. Why? Because he's God. While I live, I will sing praise. I will praise him while I live. And I will sing while I have any being. I will sing. I get teased sometimes. They said, preacher, how many times do you sing Welcome Home? I'm right up here right now. You sing a song, I Stand Amazed. But if that's the only two songs I'll ever sing, I'm glad I know what they mean. I'm glad I know what they mean. Some people say, preacher, do you sing them sometimes? You don't feel the Lord wanting you to sing them? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. But you know what? I don't think God's waiting for me to feel good to sing a song. He's just wanting to hear me sing. He's just wanting to hear me sing. Christian, play real soft on Amazing Grace, if you would.